Good morning, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today's Tuesday, January 13th, 2015. It's 9 a.m., we're at the council conference room at the city offices for a regularly scheduled city council workshop. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Here.
Vice Mayor McGuire.
Here.
Councilmember Nobile.
Here.
Councilmember Shipley.
Yeah.
And Councilmember DeLuca.
First item on our agenda is a resolution approving purchase of a 20-horsepower irrigation pumping station. Mr. Landon.
This one, Bill's going to bring up a little picture, but this is one where it's another great cooperative effort and partnership with Flagler Schools. We have another facility that is adjacent to one another, our Belterre Park, which is Frida Zamba. I think. Next to that is Wadsworth and Buddy Taylor. Wadsworth Elementary and Buddy Taylor Middle School. This is our facility here. We have a well that we're currently, a couple of wells actually, that we're currently using to irrigate the pool facility, landscaping, and also the ball fields. Those wells have been there a long time and they're starting to fail. In our budget this year, we actually had dollars to replace those wells. Then the school district, who has talked to us for a number of years about upgrading their facility, and they like what they're seeing out at Indian Trails Middle School, so they wanted to provide higher quality fields here at behind Buddy Taylor. We indicated to them that in this case, because it's not really part of our sports complex venue, that we would not be willing to pay for the actual material cost to do that upgrade on school property, but that we would make the same arrangements as far as our people doing the work and working together to minimize the cost and make improvements, and then in return, we would get to use those fields when needed, if we ever needed to use fields. And then when staff started talking, there is a canal that runs along their southern boundary, which is on the top of this map. And of course, if we can use canal water, that's considered to be a reuse water versus pumping out of the aquifers. And we looked into purchasing one of our pumps that we use in other irrigation situations to run a line from the canal onto our property and eliminate the wells. And that cost of that is actually less expensive than drilling the wells. And then the school district said, well, if you that would work great because we can run right along the track and then we can do laterals to come in and irrigate their fields. And so part of this project, and they would pay for all the materials and everything for the irrigation of their fields, but while we're out there doing the work and our crews are doing the work, we would install the irrigation system for them. So all of that is coming together quite nicely. One of the items we need to do is purchase the pumps, and that is what is actually on your agenda, is to authorize the purchase of those pumps. In this case, we do have a standard Hoover pump that we use throughout, and it's important to keep that because of parts and maintenance and familiarity with that particular pump. What is on your agenda today is authorizing about $38,000 expenditures for the pumps. The school district will pay for getting electricity to the pumps, and then the school district will include that as part of their electrical system on their property, and they will pay the monthly electric bill for the pumps. That is their contribution to the day-to-day, month-to-month maintenance. The pumps will be ours. We will end up with an easement on there or a use agreement. So it'll be our responsibility to maintain. So that's...
Bill, is this a pump from the canal to replace the shallow well pumps?
Yes. Yes, and it's a lower quality of water.
Is the canal wet 24/7, 365?
Yes, it's a pretty deep canal there.
Okay, it's not going to run dry in the midst of August.
No. Comparison is $42,000 for replacing the wells is the cost we have versus $38,000 cost of this rent.
Well, the savings is nice, but to me the bigger issue is reuse water versus aquifer water.
Right.
We had a nice recognition in Streamlines, the Water Management District publication, for our movement toward reuse. So this just ties in with that. Council questions?
One question. So our costs in this will be for the pump and then man hours?
Pump, man hours. We will also pay for the main lateral from the pump to our property.
Okay.
We got a little fence work we need to do. We're going to have to cut opening in the fence and put a gate in, you know, minor stuff like that. And fittings along the way, gate valves, mm-hmm. so that we can tee off. And
when do we get the easement? Shouldn't we have the easement first and then put in the pump?
Well, we're all in agreement with the school that they want us to do this. And we're getting the survey done right now and then talk to legal. They'll be getting that to our legal department to draw up the easement, and that will be handled before actually start the work.
Yeah, before we actually put we'll have to have that. That doesn't take city council approval. That takes school board approval, and we're working towards that. Timeline is that we're trying to get this through the work during spring break when the school is closed, so that's what the time
frame is. My only point is I wouldn't want to spend city money on school property without an easement.
Absolutely. That was part of it.
And the fields that you said are behind that, what are they used for? What would we be able to use them for with the easement?
Well, currently they're, I don't think we use them at all. They're not really quality kind of fields that you wouldn't play sports on. It would be overflow for us. So it could be anything you use, you know, soccer, football, lacrosse, anytime we needed an overflow. And we have a couple of fields just off of this map at Belterre Park. And so if we had practices or those type of things, we'd be allowed to, the people that use our fields would also be allowed to use these. During school hours, the school district would have priority over the fields or any of their school activities, but it's when they're not using them, then we should use them as overflow.
Other council questions? Thank you very much. Agenda item number 2, resolution approving a quitclaim deed to Grand Haven CDD for a portion of Waterside Parkway.
So the next couple are just housekeeping items. For whatever reason, first of all, background. Grand Haven streets are owned, maintained by the Grand Haven Community Development District, CDD. We do provide utility service, water and sewer service. We have a pump station on right adjacent to Waterside Parkway. And somehow, some way, when we obtained that property, it included a portion of Waterside Parkway right away. And the CDD has just requested it be cleaned up, and we transfer the street right away to them, and we maintain the pump site. The way we recognize it, I mean, we're not maintaining the street, don't intend to maintain the street. This is strictly a cleanup, housekeeping of documents.
Council questions? That was easy. Agenda item number 3. Resolution approving drainage easements and a partial release of the existing drainage easement with M&R United.
This is another cleanup item. This is actually on corner of Winfield, parcel on the corner of Winfield and Pine Lakes Parkway. There is a canal and a ditch that run on the edges of those, of that property. This is where the new convenience store is going in. It is actually not on the property we're dealing with the easements in the canal, because it's just on the corner, and it's adjacent to this. When we were looking at this, we discovered that the easements we have for our city drainage system don't match the actual canals and ditches. They're off a ways. So we worked out with the property owner that they would transfer to us, and you have that in your packet, slivers of additional easement where the canal is, and in return we transfer to them a sliver where the canal is not. So once again, truly a cleanup matter, not something that is impacts or has any influence or approval requirements for the actual convenience store, but we're just trying to clean up the record. The actual acres is that we will obtain about a little over 3/4 of an acre, and we will release about 1/3 of an acre. So net, we get a little extra property, but it's strictly a cleanup matter.
You know, it's interesting, Council, that this has been an ongoing problem ever since our good friends at ITT created Palm Coast. And they owned everything, every square inch of property. They put their canals anywhere they felt like, and then later on superimposed roads and other such things. They were never concerned about the preciseness of these right-of-ways because it was all theirs. And now we find that these cleanups happen, and I'm sure there'll be more as we move on through the years. Council, questions on this one? So we're getting 3/4 of an acre for 1/3 of an acre, and this is wonderful land that we're going to do absolutely nothing with, other than we now have access to our canals.
We're going to maintain what's out there right now as part of our drainage system. Okay.
We're just going to do it legally.
We have a number of locations similar to the one in Pine Lakes Parkway where the convenience store is slated to go, and as I cruise through that area of Palm Coast, I notice a lot of them have very large signs saying that this piece of property is for sale and that is zoned commercial.
Yes.
So it seems to me that we're going to walk down this road if the city grows again and again.
Yes.
Have we given any thought to how we might address that?
No different than we have in the past. It's just trying to educate people the property rights laws of the state of Florida and what we can and can't control under zoning laws. But other than that, I don't know how else to address it.
The only way, if you don't like it, the only way to address it is to spend money. If you rezone it and you downzone it, Bert Harris Act kicks in and we pay. If you don't want to go that route, you buy it and we pay. And you know, it's interesting how urban planners have evolved over the years. When ITT was creating this big thing called Palm Coast, they thought at that time, 40 years ago, that it made sense to have little commercial islands in the midst of residential. Then you moved away from that. Then the urban planning was going to put all the residential over here and all the commercial retail over here, and then you get to drive back and forth, the days of the auto. Now we've almost come full circle with mixed-use zoning being the popular approach today. So, but the reality is, when ITT did their original platting and zoning, they said this parcel is commercial, and those rights go with the land. So whoever buys it gets those development rights.
But there's a large piece of the population that thinks that the city can decide what kind of business can go somewhere, and you know, how come you let another McDonald's here? We already got one down there. and I don't know how, other than to tell them, hey, you know, this is private property that was bought. These people bought it for commercial purposes, and they're not violating any of the zoning ordinances. So what do you expect the city to do?
I think you got to lay out what Mayor Ness just laid out and say, we're in the future, we have no plans of adding commercial property to residential areas, but the ones that exist, you know, we can buy them. And we can buy them and then rezone them.
If you've got a lot of money, like,
that's
really the only option you've got.
Once you pass that, we have to say from here forward, you know, we wouldn't do, you know, we're gonna go with the second option of urban planning, where we're separating the two. But if it's bought, if it's zoned and purchased,
bought and paid for,
we can buy it back.
Bill, to your point, we don't need another, you said McDonald's. We need a, and you can fill in the blank, whatever your favorite, and I've got my favorite restaurant that's not here, but the reality is, once you start going down that road, you've intruded yourself into somebody's business plan, and if it's unsuccessful, what liability would you have?
And I'm not suggesting that we do that.
Oh, I'm not either.
All I'm saying is that clearly there is a disconnect to what the public views the city is capable of doing and what the law says.
Yes.
Yep.
I want smaller or less intrusive government, except on this issue that affects me.
I want a convenience store as long as it's not in my neighborhood. Yeah.
And if I could add in two points, I think there's a certain normal expectation that when folks buy a lot and they build it in a subdivision and it backs up on a nice green area, I think the normal expectation is that's always going to be there. And there's a lack of due diligence. And I think that's not to Kathleen on any one individual or any one location. I think that's common pretty much for anywhere in the United States, much less Florida and Palm Coast. But one last thing there. Because we see this in all the other jurisdictions, you would hope that the development community would encourage any lot owner to have as part of their closing pack a copy of the zoning map for the city of Palm Coast, for the city of Winter Park, or the city of St. Augustine.
Well, and understand
so that they understand, yep. You know, what vested rights that the adjoining property owners have.
Heidi and Steve, have you guys come across the preserve versus reserve issue?
Yes. Well, I tap in my purchases.
When ITT created Palm Coast, they knew this was going to be residential, and they knew that Hargrove Grade was going to be industrial. But there were some parcels they weren't quite sure what they were going to be. So they called them reserve parcels. We're just going to reserve those and see what happens. Well, people would buy property in the vicinity of these reserve parcels, and somehow their broker, their real estate agent, used the term preserve instead of reserve. Now, preserve to me, it's going to be preserved as conservation. It'll be forever green. And then all of a sudden, they're building on it. They told me that was a preserve. No, they should have told you that was a reserve, but it goes back to due diligence. Don't trust what somebody else tells you. Get it in writing, and
that's right.
Maybe you'll be.
Well, I lived right off of Winfield, right where that gas station. I had a house. As soon as the commercial sign went up, we're talking 25 years ago, we sold the house and moved somewhere else. I mean, I foresaw. I didn't think it was going to be this long before they built there. But
anyway, any other questions, comments? But you're right. We will deal with this. If we don't, future council will deal with this number of times. If there were only one such parcel in all of Palm Coast, maybe we could scrape together some money and buy it. But the reality is there are probably 20, 30 of these parcels scattered throughout. So
easy.
If not more. So anyway.
But with that conversation, I want to stress that the matter in front of you, this cleanup of the easement,
has nothing to do with
it. You know, I mean, the project is underway. It's actually not on the site of the convenience store, so it doesn't have any impact on that particular project.
Agenda item number four, resolution approving price agreement with Ferguson Waterworks for various utility materials. That sounds exciting.
In this particular one, it's for the reclaim line that we're going to run from Cigar Lake, which is just off of Royal Palms to the east of Belterre in Town Center. We're going to run it to Belterre, which will then provide irrigation for the remaining portion of the median landscaping along Belterre. And maybe other points beyond that if in the future, but right now this is the beginning of that. So this is just buying the materials, and our crews are going to install this, except for the boring, and then we have a contract with a boring company that would do that or need it. That's it.
How boring.
I thought we approved an item some time ago about the beautification of the medians down 100. Is that what this is intended for?
No, this is Belterre. Okay. Yes, we did, and that's in the process of design and getting approval from FDOT because it's a state highway, etc.
Right.
So this is a Belterre beautification project.
Okay.
Down to State Road 100, as a matter of fact, eventually.
Okay. Discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Ms. Shipley, we'll start with you.
No.
Mr. McGuire.
I'm still trying to understand what I'm going to do with 6,300 feet of PVC pipe. All this is going to run out to Belterre and then be distributed through an irrigation system?
No, it's a, think of it as a main line. It is okay. Just a line that's going to run. We have our Cigar Lake pump station.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to go from there. We're going to pump the water out of Cigar Lake, which is reclaimed water.
Yep.
And this pipe along Royal Palms Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to install it along Royal Palms Parkway to Belterre. And then at Belterre is where we have the landscaping, and we will run the lines down Belterre
south
that will then have irrigation heads on. But that the Belterre project is part of the median improvements. This is just getting the main line from Cigar Lake to Belterre. Does that help?
It helps. Of course, we're talking about over a mile of pipe. High-density polyethylene. I'm familiar with high-density polypropylene.
All right, guys. He's beyond my...
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me all about high-density polyethylene.
Okay. High-density polyethylene is a very thick-walled pipe that the directional boring companies use, and that will be used underneath the canals and underneath the street crossings.
And why is that best for this?
There is... High-density polyethylene, or HDPE as it's called, has been used for a number of years, and it will take quite a bit of abuse, and you can also has a lot of flexibility in that when you go down under canals and come back up on the bore shots, you have the flexibility of a pipe, whereas you couldn't use another pipe that was more rigid to where it could be, it wouldn't have that flexing ability to be able to go down and come back up again.
Okay. And who is going to install this pipe?
It'll be the crew, city crews, specifically the water distribution crews.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. McGuire?
In one of the previous council meetings, it's been so long since we had one, but I remember, we talked about looking into purchasing some sort of a shuttle vehicle to transport people to the Indian Trail Sports Complex so they wouldn't be parking on the sidewalks. Have we looked into that yet?
Luann, you want to address that one? Come on up. I'm not sure where we
are.
Or
just say no.
Well, you know, Ms. McGuire, well, she comes up. That was only one of a variety of things we were looking at. We were trying to see if there were
The reason and I bring it up, Mr. Landon, is the timeliness of it, you know, because it's now mid-January and we're baseball season will be upon us and the Little League will be up here. And
would we come up with?
rentals, not purchase. So we looked into rentoning and seeing on an as-needed basis. And I can get those figures for you as far as how much it would cost to rent one.
Yeah, and then I had a conversation with Luann about this once, and I suggested that if the city was going to pursue this sort of thing, that we would like the Sports Alliance to have some skin in this game too. Because it's one thing to maintain the fields and stripe them and all that, and it's another thing to put capital assets at their disposal.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Mr. Nabil.
Quick question. What has changed at the community center? A couple of the organizations that I meet at with there, which we did yearly, and we met every month, or both of them, now are being pushed off for more city. They're told they can only go month to month because there are more city meetings occurring.
Nothing has changed.
Okay.
Policy, so I'll ask.
Yeah, I'm a little. Nobody asked me. I just was told that our meetings are month to month. We may have to find somewhere else to meet. And
the only thing I could think of is that when we were talking about timetable for possible construction at the community center, we were kind of holding people off until we had a decision
Understood.
To see.
Yeah.
But now that we know, it's going to be several years.
Okay. Well, this was recently. This was less than a month ago.
I'll find out. Thank you.
Yeah. That's all I have.
I have two items. Council, I'm sure you've received some emails about the price of gasoline in Palm Coast. For your information, a month or so ago, when the price disparity was even greater, I sent an email to corporate headquarters of one of our larger gas stations asking, is there something I can share with the residents that accounts for this? Well, the response was zero. There was no response. Interesting editorial in the paper several weeks ago explaining how prices are set, who sets them, and what the criteria are. But the reality is that in a free enterprise market, you can sell it for whatever you think you can get for it. And that's what we're seeing happen here in Palm Coast. The other thing, Mr. Landon, maybe you can confirm this. It's better than a rumor, but not a hard and fast truth. I have been told from various sources that the Portuguese American Club has been successful in, I guess, lobbying the government to have the Portuguese consulate located here in Palm Coast.
Yes, the truth.
So false.
Actually, that was going to be part of my comments, too. Did meet with the president of the local Portuguese American Club, and he confirmed that everything is moving forward. It's not final. It takes U.S. government, federal government approval. But at this point, they have actually have a lease in the town center area, the city center, known as Chimento Building, or the office building where Palm Coast Holdings and Chimento is located. They're going to have temporary offices on the third floor, and then they are planning to build out two of the units on the first floor of that building there in town center. And this would be a move from Orlando, where the consulate currently is, to Palm Coast. Once again, it's not final. They have announced it at their club, so it is out there. And so they thought they would come and share that with us here at the city, and ask that I make sure that it's stated that it still takes final approval, but that they're moving in that direction. I think there's going to be some media coverage on it going to happen if it hasn't already.
I think that's nice for the city of Palm Coast. I'm curious, since the topic du jour in everybody is job creation, does this bring some jobs to Palm Coast?
Absolutely. Jobs, it also will bring more visitors in, because at a consulate, it's kind of like, you're out of my expertise here, but it's almost like a mini embassy, if you will, and they can do Portuguese national type business there with people from that have citizenship maybe in Portugal. So, or U.S. comedy, I really don't know. But because of that, you will have people visiting Palm Coast. They believe it will attract more people to Palm Coast. It will gravitate towards this kind of facility if you have a Portuguese-American background. We have a very large contingency, as you all know, already, that is very active in the community. So this is a good fit for Palm Coast, we think. It's another one of those that's a good fit for downtown. You know, it's a kind of a government-type facility in a downtown arena. So it will not just create jobs, but we think will help stimulate some more economic activity here in Palm Coast.
And the last thing that I was just going to raise actually, there's two things I want to talk about. Received an email from somebody lauding the light display at Town Center, Central Park, beautiful, but feeling that we could do more along our major thoroughfare, Palm Coast Parkway, in terms of illumination for the Christmas holidays. I don't know, it's expensive. Something council can think about. We've got 350 days for our next holiday. But,
who's counting? But who's counting?
Yeah, but who's counting? I am. My budget is already overwhelmed. I've had several people approach me with very personal concerns about our land development code as it relates to privacy fences, especially along the saltwater canals. People who are concerned that if you build a 6-foot-high fence all the way down to the seawall, you've effectively blocked my vision up and down the canal. To the best of my recollection, once upon a time, we had step-down requirements. You could have a 6-foot-high fence, but as you approach the front of the house or the rear of the house or approach the property line, it had to step down. That was changed, I believe, in 2004 or 2008 when the Land Development Code was revised. I don't know if anybody else has had communication on this issue, whether it's something you want to look at. I just raise it because I've been asked to raise it.
Well, I think that the whole fencing issue, I mean, I get a lot of fencing issues, not necessarily by the canal. Hmm. When it comes to types of fencing and shrubbery combinations, and you know, and there's a lot of concern as to potentially government overreach. But you know, so I would be willing if we can reinvestigate that, and you know, and look at the whole policy on fencing in the city, within the city limits.
Could you be a little more specific about
Well, you know, what I understand is people who are asking, you know, who would like to put up less expensive fencing, but cover it with shrubbery, but they're told they're not allowed, or they put up a 6-foot privacy fence and then they're asked to put shrubs in front of it, and they don't understand that. They're like, well, why am I spending all this money on a...
But only along our major thoroughfares.
Well, but still, that isolates various people. So we have different rules for different... You see what I'm saying? So it tends to... For people to...
Well, we do. And we acknowledge that along certain thoroughfares, we do have a greater vegetative buffer requirement than...
Well, and I'm good with that. But what they say is, well, why can't I just then put up a... If I'm going to cover it anyway... Why can't I put up a link fence?
Most of them aren't. Well, most of them don't cover. If you could drive down the street,
yeah.
you actually see the fence. It's just there's some landscaping that's
right
at the bottom of it.
But what I'm saying is if we could fix that and say, in a sense, you don't have to spend that money and then cover it extra. You can get a link fence, but it has to be completely covered, or you could put up a 6-foot fence and put...
Part of the problem, I remember this from years ago, part of the problem is I put up a lesser fence,
yeah,
and I plant these little baby shrubs with the anticipation that they will
grow.
They will grow. Someday they will, someday they won't, someday they die, someday they're not replaced.
Yeah.
So it's something perhaps staff could give us a briefing on the whole issue and just let us know what the current status is. Then we can talk about whether we want to make any changes. Okay.
Especially on the one that I think you're talking about is on the canal.
Yeah.
And when you look at the pictures, they do lose. I'm sure what they bought that house for was the view of the canal and that 6-foot fence going right around it.
Yep.
They lose all the view from their house. And
this becomes another private property right.
Right.
Do you have the right to put a fence up on your property?
And that's what we're becoming a little bit too, when you try to regulate other people's behaviors and morals, and you begin to tell, so whose rights were infringed on? The guy who's told he can't put up a fence, or the guy who's told he can't see down the, you know what I mean? It's whether you do or don't, somebody.
But life is compromised.
That's it. Well, that's exactly. So we have to be more compromising.
But anyway, what I'd like to do is let staff take a look at the issue, the specific issues that have been raised, and then the more general issues of what we require between neighbors.
We'll do.
Yep. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Just briefly, just a follow-up. Some of you were at a meeting we had with one of our local judges yesterday morning, and he asked for some additional information as to the breakdown of the fees, and we'll be getting that information to the judge right away, of course, and there will be no need for an additional hearing. And we anticipate receiving an order that'll hopefully resolve and complete that lawsuit, and then we'll take the next step. And of course, as soon as we get that order, we'll provide it to the city manager and to the city council. I'll let you know where that was going.
Where do we stand on the ethics training?
Yeah, it's currently scheduled for your last workshop this month. City clerk and I, Virginia and I, have decided to break it down into two meetings, two workshops, because otherwise you're sitting there for 4 hours and it gets a little bit much for everybody. So we're going to do, I think, the ethics portion, Chapter 112, this month, the last workshop meeting of this month, and then the next workshop thereafter, which, of course, will be the second meeting in February. We'll talk about sunshine and public records. I know that Virginia has sent out invitations to other local officials here in Flagler County and has received some yeses back, so you won't be alone, and hopefully it will be a conversation more than a presentation. Otherwise, it's 2 hours can seem like at least 2 hours.
So will there be handouts? Will there be handouts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure.
Will there be a quiz at the end?
Do you want to do a quiz?
No.
You're the boss. I'm happy to prepare.
Life is a take-home exam.
No quizzes. That's right.
And it made sense when we sent out the invitation. Our guests said, well, you say after workshop, when is that? You know, we don't want to come and then be late or have to wait too long. So we set a time certain at 12:30 when we start the training, with the idea that we would provide sandwiches for you all at 12, and so you have a lunch break between 12 and 12:30 and then start the ethics training.
And your job is to see to it that the workshop ends by 12.
Yeah, not too far in advance, so you have to go away and come back, right. But not too late, so that's, but that would be the goal. And if we need to cut it short, we'll cut it short, but I suspect you'll be able to get done by 12. That's it.
Discussion by city manager matters not on the agenda.
Well, I had the one that we already went over with Portuguese consulate, but I thought I'd also, it's been a while since I've done an update on capital projects. I'm going to start off with some good news. It's, once again, still tentative, not final, but through the TPO, River to Sea TPO, the Transportation Planning Organization that we're now a part of, that all state federal funding has to come through. We're on a path now to get a grant for the remaining portion of the Similar Woods Path from Sesame on to US 1. It is on the agenda this month for approval by the TPO board. Have good reason to believe that FDOT will approve it if the board approves it. It has been recommended for approval by the executive committee of the TPO. And so we see no reason why this won't happen. That will allow us to advance the construction of Seminole Woods Path. We are out there right now proceeding with the second phase and moving on down Seminole Woods. Once we get to Sesame, we'll do this, I call it the Sesame Citation Loop, where we'll do the loop around Sesame and Citation. And then from there, we'll tie in the last phase from Sesame on down to US 1. That timing will be controlled by the grant funding. If we get the grant, there'll be conditions and all those things. But that funding is available this year, so we have to be moving forward. But that's one of the reasons why we were able to get the grant dollars. Once again, we have the plans, we have the everything in place. They had dollars left over from other projects. They said, okay, is anybody ready? And we said, we are. So that's how we got those grant dollars.
When you go down Seminole Woods from US 1 coming into the city, you go through a couple of S turns that are not banked. And when it's slippery, they're downright dangerous. Have we given any thought to a project down the road that would hopefully get a grant to bank those turns?
First I've heard of it. So
okay.
We did that on Rimfire.
Well, I don't drive it very often, but whenever I do it, the centrifugal force going around those curves when they're banked the wrong way is pretty significant.
Okay. Particularly with the speeds down there. Well, take a look at it.
Okay.
The water projects moving along, the concentrate treatment project at Plant 3. Are we online with the ZLD yet, Steve?
We're not. We're in the testing mode.
Testing mode. Construction basically finished, just basically testing it before we get it up and operating, but very, very close. I know it would be any day now. City Hall is moving along very nicely now. It's going to be one of those, I hope I don't ruin the surprise, but they are framing the walls. It's a tilt wall, so they actually frame them on the ground. So they'll cure for 4 weeks or so, and then you all of a sudden see a building, kind of similar to what we've seen in some others around town. So that project is moving along quite well. Palm Coast Parkway, six laning. It's on schedule, moving along very well. Everything we're seeing, you can kind of get a feel for what it's going to look like with the eastbound lanes. Yes, the whole street will be resurfaced, so you won't see a new asphalt and all, but that will all be right at the end. So not sure when we'll be able to open up that westbound or eastbound lanes that are finished. Signals have to be operating, and so there's some timing issues going on there. But everything seems to be going well. Yes, the laurel oak trees, I'm going to try to brief or remind people that those live oaks that aren't live oaks or laurel oaks that our tree expert said that they were very close to the end of their lifespan. If you recall, we had those type of trees in the median on Palm Coast Parkway down by US 1. And they were all starting to die and disease. Well, these were headed in that same direction. They did come down last week as part of this project. That was all scheduled and everything. So, but as anticipated, we did get some comments about it.
But the point is, Mr. Lannon, I think that the trees that are coming down will be replaced by more trees than were up.
Hundreds, 400 and some trees.
400 and something to replace 300 and some.
Right, exactly. And it will have the Palm Coast entry wow factor that we promised everybody. Royal Palms Parkway improvements are proceeding. This year we are going to look at additional left turn lanes, like what we're doing at Rickenbacker. We did some on Pine Lakes. We already did at Rimfire. And a good example of that is the bus accident we had. on Whiteview and Ravenwood. And that's exactly why these left turn lanes safety projects are important, is if you can get those people turning left off of the through lane, it really does help a great deal with the through traffic.
So, are we thinking about putting the flashing yellow lights similar to what you have on Whiteview and US 1, where you can make a left turn if there's no traffic coming?
But we're not talking about a signal. In this case, we're just talking about a left turn lane.
Yeah, I understand that.
So,
but it would be, I mean, if it's a worthwhile thing to do.
You would only put those in if the signal was warranted. I don't think it would be. You don't have that much left turning movement. That's part of the problem, is most of the traffic is just going through. Ravenwood is just one example. There's others in town. But the idea is to get that traffic that stopped dead
into their own lane.
In their own lane, so the through traffic can go by. It helps with the traffic flow, but it really truly is a safety factor. What we saw just
that's the second stopped accident like that in the county that was fatal in the last 3 or 4 months.
Right. So that is what I bring that up as associated Royal Palms Park. That's what we're doing. We're putting that left turn lane in there. And we were going to bring back to you as part of our performance measures this year an evaluation of where does the next one need to be, and because there's others in town, and keep moving forward with those safety improvements. It's four-laning the entire street is very costly and difficult. Adding a left turn lane is a lot more feasible and can really help. So moving forward with that one. Weir project, stormwater is moving LO1, moving along very nicely. Have not heard any issues. It's about 50% complete and on schedule. I think that's about all that I can think. I'm sure we've got other minor ones out there if you have any questions, but a lot of activity from the private sector standpoint. Palm Harbor Shopping Center, better known as the Island Walk now, is moving along very nicely, people are starting to get a feel for how significant that project really is going to be now. It's very positive. And of course, the most important project of all time, according to some people out here, Chick-fil-A is it's up. I even had one of my family members, "What's that going to be?" I go, "My goodness, where have you been?" That's all I have for today.
Mr. Vice Mayor,
move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.